There's a prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. All are welcome. And an announcement that's not in your bulletin is there will be a women's gathering at Island Park this Thursday at 11 a.m. If you can come, come and bring your lunch if you'd like to. If you can't, it's okay. But that is the day during the week that the temperature is the lowest. So we just want to start meeting anybody who wants to come. Even if there's two of us or three of us, we'll be gathered together in His name. And then on Friday, there's a community prayer meeting at Almond Community Church, and the address is in your bulletin. And if you serve on if you serve in any way here at church, please understand that there is a schedule on the back bulletin board for July, August, and September. And if you, please look that over and make sure that you don't have any conflicts. But if you do, contact Jeannie in the office. Okay. So who is collecting the offering this morning? Why don't you come forward? Oh, you've got it. Are these ladies on top of things? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. Everything that we have is yours, and we recognize that. And we want to give back to you this morning. Lord, we just give you these offerings, these gifts, these tithes, and we just say they are for your glory, Lord, and they are just a reflection of all of the good things that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Would you stand with us? Our first song is titled Glorious Day, and every day with Jesus can be a glorious day, no matter what is happening. Amen. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. I saw darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old man you. Jesus, when I met you, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, I ran out of that grave, I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. Have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Oh, glory to your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father, for calling us out of death and darkness and into your wonderful, glorious day. Praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Glory to your name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty to ashes. Turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn forts into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning into dancing. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn vaults into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who... You're the only one! You're the only one who can. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you today that you can take anything and make something good out of it, Lord. Thank you that you can take the worst thing and you can help us, Lord. Oh, you turn our graves into gardens, Lord. Oh, bones turn into armies. Oh, God, you're able to do it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne, build it here inside. There at the cross, you made the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul, for the first time I had hope. Darkness into glory. So you took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, and you walked right out again. And now death has no sting. Life it has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. darkness to glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. To Jesus the blood applies. Saved my life, brought me from the darkness to glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, the blood applies. Jesus has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness to glorious light. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, wonder-working power of the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your love, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to man. All who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to man. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, creation cries, oh.
the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry.
Foundation. Take your orange sheet out of your bulletin and you can follow along and fill in the blanks. We've worshiped the Lord. Oh, He's so good, isn't He? Today's 5-minute foundation is on the Lordship of Christ. It begins in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Fill in your blanks, not and say. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Luke 9:23 says, Then he said to them all, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a daily progressive, continual thing that we must deny ourselves, take up his cross daily and follow me. Is what he says. Jesus said that. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, You are not your own. You're not your own. How many times do we have to fight with our brain to say what I want to do rather than what he wants me to do at the time? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ. No one else could do it. He is our Redeemer and our sacrifice. He is our Redeemer. Redeemed us by his sacrifice. We were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So every day, we'll deny ourselves. This is how we show the Lordship of Christ. It's not just accepting Christ one time, but it is denying ourselves daily and picking up the cross. Acts 2:36 says, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And we've got three names for Jesus there. Jesus, the man who we know walked the earth. Lord, the one who we're talking about right now, that we would deny ourselves every day and give him the glory and honor due his name. And he is our Messiah, the Christ. Being a Christian means following Jesus as Lord, not just accepting him as Savior. It means living under his lordship. And we're at the very bottom of our page now. What does that mean? Surrendering. What does it mean to surrender to the sovereign rule and the ownership of Jesus in our life every day? What does it mean? Number one, seek to give Jesus control of your life. Seek to give Jesus control of your life. Learn God's commands and seek to follow them. Learn God's commands and seek to follow them. Three, ask God for help. He knows we're just fragile human beings, but he will help. And four, confess your failures and press on. So if you don't do the things that you know that you need to do today, just say, okay, I'm going to press on because Jesus is Lord. Thank you.
Did you catch that last point? If you make mistakes and you screw something up, what do? You confess it and you go on. Let it go. God can take care of your messes. He can take care of my messes. That is part of his goodness. He never fails us. Ah, thank you, Lord. Would you stand with us one more time and sing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the good. My life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Have led me through the fire, the darkness. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. So good. Every
goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, Jesus, you're good, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, good, good Father. Oh, you're good, Lord. Oh, Mama. Oh, good, good Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness. God, you're good. Oh, Jesus, we give you glory, Father. I pray today that you would give us grace to do that garment exchange, that we'd be able to cast off the spirit of heaviness and put on that garment of praise, Father, and even if it's a sacrifice, help us, Lord. Help us to bring that wonderful sacrifice of praise, because you are worthy. You are always good. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Can you testify today that all your life you've been faithful? I can testify that even in the darkest night, God has been faithful. He is a faithful God. I'm still ringing. I want to thank everyone that helped and contributed yesterday to our send-off on to glory for our brother Ron Manning. It was truly a celebration of his life, and just so grateful that we were able to take part in that. But thank you, those of you who helped set up tables, tear down, that helped prepare food and serve food. It was quite an undertaking, but the family was blessed. They were blessed. And, you know, it's as much as we know where Ron is, and my emphasis yesterday is that we're not saying goodbye, we're saying see you later.
He isn't gone. He's just gone on. And it's still hard to say goodbye. So if you would keep the Manning family in your prayers, just continue to lift them up. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And Ron's life really, really told the gospel. And if anybody was in that room and doesn't know now how to get saved, they were deaf and blind. Because Ron's life was a testimony to the goodness of God. And even in the hospital, I was so proud of Ron. He was witnessing to everybody in the hospital. And I shared yesterday, he got kind of a mischievous little twinkle in his eye. And he said, "I'm trying to sneak Jesus in anywhere I can. Anytime somebody comes in, I'm telling them about Jesus." And somebody said to him, "Well, wow, you've had a long marriage." Just shy, it would have been 63 years in August. And they said, "Well, you know, how did you do that?" He says, "It takes three to make a marriage, the husband, the wife, and Jesus." And I'm like, "Amen, Ron." And he said, "That's right, I'm still preaching to the gospel to everybody." And he did, right into the end. Right up to the end. So thank you, everybody that helped. It was just wonderful to be able to have that for them. Glory to his name. Well, Sister Judy got up here and sort of in part anyway, started preaching my message. I felt like maybe we could just go home. The Lordship of Christ. Oh, yes. Okay. Sure. Okay. Well, we got to get you on the mic. So.
Okay. So part of this testimony is mine, and part is what God did through me for somebody else, which is just really cool watching how God pulls all the pieces together. I had an old car that was at that place where I knew I needed something new, but I also was kind of waiting because it's paid off. You know, it's really hard to get a car payment again. And about a month ago, I was driving home from Lancaster where I'd met my friend, and God just, as I'm leaving Lancaster, and it was clear, like, "You need to get a car by July." I'm like, okay. So I don't know if God talks to any of the rest of you like that, but it was suddenly really apparent. And so I began watching cars and blah, blah, blah. Well, while I had been in Lancaster, I was visiting one of my old friends. And I'll come forward so people don't have to turn around. It's just uncomfortable. So while I was there, my friend had mentioned that her daughter had just graduated from college and was going to be working 45 minutes away, and they weren't sure what they were going to do about what she was going to do about transportation, blah, blah, blah. And so a few weeks ago, was in Pittsburgh and decided I would start looking for cars because I had an appointment here with somebody last week to meet. And I was with my brothers, and any of you who are females who look like me, like, take advantage of me. No, it's better to go with a strong man. Anyway, and we began looking, and I climbed in a car, and I fell in love, and I ended up driving it home. Bought it right there. Yes, yay! But now I've got another car, and I had some ideas. So I knew I was going to give my car away because I had a problem that was... I didn't trust that whatever dealer I traded in for was going to tell the person and knew the motor would blow up if you aren't keeping track of it. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. So, and it's old, okay, so it's not this great thing. But I was like, well, who am I going to do this? And my conversation with my friend, you know what I love is how God puts those pieces together, because I really was not wanting to buy a car for a year, and all of a sudden, here I am. And so I called, and she started driving. She needs the car as of Monday, and she was able to pick it up Friday. And, you know, it was just such a testimony for her, too. She's like, we've been praying about what am I going to do, and here this is. And, you know, that was not at all where I was at. But I love how God pulls those pieces together to make things happen. And she really got a forever God is good, God is faithful story out of it.
Amen. Good.
Can I tell my double story? My dove story.
Your dove story. I guess I don't know what your dove story is.
Okay.
One of my favorite morning scriptures is Psalms 143, verse 8. And it goes like this. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to walk in the way you would have me go. Because I lift up my soul to you. Well, I was reciting that to myself one morning, and when I said, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, I heard the doves cooing. And I've got a lot of doves around my house, and so throughout the day, I hear doves cooing all the time, causing me to recognize his loving kindness to us. That's just a great little story. That really happened.
Amen. Amen. Do you ever feel like you need a reminder of God's goodness? I mean, we know he's good, but when he's so kind to give us things like that, give us little encouragements, speak to us and send cars our way, or let us hear the doves. I have a friend, Jeff Hokanson in Pioneer Christian Fellowship, and God spoke to that man every time he saw an eagle. For some reason, God used that in his life over and over. At particular moments of his life, God would confirm something to Jeff, and he'd see an eagle somewhere. Just how God works. He's an interesting, creative fellow. Pardon? Are you having trouble hearing me? I turned it down because I was ringing, so now I'll turn it back up. Okay, and this one is not, even if I put it up. How's that? Ring. How's that? Okay, all right. Okay, well, I'd like to start today in Matthew chapter 11. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is what is known as the Great Invitation, spoken by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, for people in our modern society, I think those are really, really refreshing words. Every missionary that comes to here to speak from another country, they all say, boy, once I came back to the States, life just accelerates. Everything is so fast, and where they are, nothing is fast. Is that true, Tom? Life is a lot slower in lots of other places, and here it's just like slam, bang. And even people who aren't busy feel like they're busy, and if they're not busy, they feel guilty that they aren't busy because they should be busier. Do you feel that way? It's like sometimes you feel guilty if you take a few minutes, if you take a little while to just kind of hang out and chill because you ought to be doing something. Well, you've got stuff to do. Come on, produce. We live in a fast-paced, high-expectation society that piles as much on people as they're willing to take, and then they toss a little extra in just for good measure. Here, have a little more, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But Jesus, in this passage, promises rest. But there's a principle in here that's really important, and I hope we can lay a hold of this today. There's something else in this. He says, I will give you rest. But then verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And there's a principle in Scripture, there's a principle in this passage that it is the situation of man. God has created us to be
yoked. Now, when I first was thinking about that, I didn't like it. I don't like that idea. I want to be free. I want to be free in Jesus. But we are all yoked. Every person on this earth is yoked to something. And our society teaches us that we're supposed to be independent. You know, in America, we've got the American dream that you can make it on your own independently. You can be whatever you want and do whatever you want. But the scriptural truth is that every person is made for a yoke. Now, I don't like that thought that I'm supposed to have a yoke. But every person is made for a yoke. People chafe a little bit under that concept. They did in Jesus' day. You're going to have to click me through, Eric, because I forgot to get my little thing. Actually, I'm going to get my little... I got a new toy, and it worked pretty good last week. Let's see if it keeps going. John 8, 33 and 34. The scribes and Pharisees are talking to Jesus, and Jesus just told them, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so what do they say? We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. You know, we like to think that we're free. People like to think that they're truly free. But the fact of the matter is everybody is yoked to something, and either they're yoked to sin or they're yoked to Jesus. And there's nothing else in between. Either we've got a yoke of sin, and that yoke takes on all kinds of different personalities, or we're yoked to Christ Jesus. And that's the simplest, most general picture, but the fact is that everybody is yoked to something, and what you're yoked to will exert control over your life. So, first of all, what is a yoke? Well, there it is. In the old, in the agricultural sense, a yoke was something that they would probably know this. There's two openings there, one for one ox and one for the other ox. And they put them together, and together they go around and they off we go. That's us, I guess. Off we go to pull some kind of a load, and it works better. Those oxen do not work well independently. They have to be put together, or they're going to pull off into different directions. But that yoke keeps them straight and on course together, and then the person that's driving them can direct them. But the context of this scripture relates really directly, if we go to the purest context of this, relates directly to the traditions of the Jewish religious leaders of the day. Jesus was speaking to them, to the people, about the heavy, burdensome yoke that the Jews were laboring under. And what I mean by that is Israel was yoked to the Mosaic Law. And in that Mosaic Law, if you read through those books of Moses, there were 613 commandments that they were given to live under and follow. And it was a yoke that none of them could keep. None of them could keep that whole law and consider themselves righteous. And the whole idea of the law, does that mean that the law that God gave was bad? Absolutely not. If we look at Romans 7, 7 through 9, Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have been mindful of sin if not for the law. For I would not have been aware of coveting if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing its opportunity through the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. for apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. In other words, you're told in the commandments, do not covet. Now, if nobody came to you and said, don't covet, you're okay, right? But as soon as thou shalt not covet. Now, what happens? Inside, tell somebody, don't covet. And guess what happens? You know, you could put a toddler in a room and give him everything he likes to eat, and then over on the other side, you can put some cookies. And if you leave him in the room by himself, he's probably going to be okay, but if you go and say, okay, you can have whatever you want, but don't touch the cookies. And you know what the toddler's going to do. Well, you know what Adam and Eve did? They had everything, but they coveted more. They coveted more. Can't keep those commandments. Does that mean that the commandment is bad? No, the commandment was good. It's good not to covet. But can any of us keep it? No! So it's a yoke that they just being yoked to the commandments for our own righteousness will always end up in sin. Always, it always ends up that way. Acts 15:10, when the Jewish believers were trying to decide about what to tell the Gentiles, the non-Jews to do, they some of them thought, well, we've got to command them to keep the law of Moses. And so they said, now, then why do you test God by placing on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we or our fathers have been able to bear? Now, add to this the problem of the Jewish religious leaders. They not only had the 613 things they had to follow in the law, but then they had these lovely religious leaders who created something called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a lovely document that tells you how to keep those 613 commandments in great, painful detail. The Mishnah, oh my goodness, it had 6 or 7 big, like major sections or chapters, and then each of them had 7 to 12 sub-chapters in it, all with all kinds of extra laws and regulations. How to wash your hands when you come in, how to wash your pots, how to let your land life follow. When I was in school at Fredonia, we had a girl who was a Jewish girl, and she got saved. And she was recounting to us a story of all the rules they had. One Sabbath day on Saturday, she wanted to wash her hair. Well, she said, I had greasy hair. I wanted to wash my hair. But you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So they had a special law, rule in one of their books, how to wash your hair on the Sabbath. And there were directions. You had to go and do this, and you had to do this, and do it, but you had to do it in secret, and no one could know that you did it. I mean, washing your hair. Think about the regulations that they had to live under. And Jesus is like, come to me, you guys who are laboring under all this garbage. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees knew how to lay it on. They knew how to should on people. You should do this. Beware of the shoulds. Beware of the evil shoulds. Rule after rule, how to do everything. And Jesus is inviting people out of this burdensome yoke. You know, now people really like the idea of casting off a yoke. Yeah, let's get rid of it. I'm going to break free of society's rules and expectations. And some people want to live free of religious rules. They say, you're a Christian. All you do is you have a bunch of rules you have to live under. You know, cast off their restraints. But they're just re-yoking themselves to something else. Now they're re-yoking themselves to lawlessness and sin. Remember, we're never yoke-free. We are never, ever yoke-free. But Jesus calls us to come to Him. weary and heavy laden, come. But remember that Jesus doesn't want us to be weary and weighed down. But it happens so easily if we're not vigilant. You know, that easy yoke that he wants to place on us, it's so easy for that to let other stuff get in when Jesus wants us to have rest. And, you know, sometimes we get this picture of God just wanting us, you know, all we want to believe is that God just wants us to obey him. We just have to obey him. He's telling us, he gives us commands, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. But it's really backwards. He's not demanding obedience for obedience's sake, but it's through yoking ourselves to Jesus that we can enter into the good life that he can deliver. And Jesus is inviting you into a life free from unnecessary burdens and into rest. What Jesus wants is you to have a heart where you can live at rest. At rest. Is it a battle sometimes to maintain peace and to walk in the peace that Jesus wants you to have? The key is in verse 29. I think I've got that next. We'll see. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So the key is, we often think of the invitation as one to just take off our old yoke and just rest. But it's not being yoke free. Jesus tells us to put his yoke on. Please notice, whose yoke is it? Do you just get a new yoke for you to wear? It says, take my yoke. It's Jesus' yoke. It's not yours. So what does that mean? It means that we submit ourselves under him, we follow him and obey him. Jesus is clear, we're called to wear a yoke of discipleship. And it's not always easy, but it says he is gentle and humble. He's not like the other things we yoke our lives to that weigh us down. Boy, you can give thanks that you're not involved in Islam. You want garbage piled on your life. My wife was recounting to me yesterday all the horrible things, that the horrible yoke of Islam and all that it piles on people, and they live in fear. They live in fear of Allah. You know, and to get a wonderful reward that you have to go and martyr yourself, yeah, great. So Jesus is gentle and humble. He's not like the other things we yoke ourselves to or we can find ourselves with this weigh us down. Even in the difficult seasons, we can find rest and peace because we're yoked to him. It's not our yoke. It's his. His strength, his great help, his grace. In verse 30, he says, My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't mean that it's going to be effortless. He doesn't mean that it's going to be super easy. Rather, what he's saying is the yoke that he puts on you is going to be appropriate. It's appropriate to what you can do. It's not going to bend you over. It's not going to break you. It's not going to be too much. And when you feel that way, you may find that the devil has put something on you, a false burden, to weigh you down, to steal your joy. That's his goal. Jesus' goal is to help you bear the burden. The devil's goal is to weigh you down so that you lose your peace and that you lose your rest and that you can't find that place of peaceful rest that he wants you to have. Now, following Jesus requires some effort. We heard about lordship this morning in our foundations. Are you enjoying? I hope you're enjoying the 5-minute foundations. We've discovered that, you know, if you just have the pastor preaching messages, pretty soon after a couple of years, you don't always get around to touching the main foundation points. And so doing that, we just kind of get a touchstone into all of those basic doctrines, and we get to always hammer them away. So once we get through it, we'll probably start again. You'll all get to be experts on the 5-minute foundations by the end. But following Jesus requires some effort. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way as to take the prize. Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown that is perishable, but we do it for a crown that is imperishable." The work that Jesus gives us is fitting for what we can do, and His burden is light. We can do it. In contrast, the other burdens in life are really heavy. They bring weight and weariness, but Jesus' yoke is easy, not effortless, but appropriate. With Jesus by your side, He can then lift the heavy burden off of our backs and put it on His. He takes it. He takes it so we don't have to. Unsaved people think of Christianity as just a bunch of rules to follow, and they don't understand that being yoked to Jesus is liberating. It's freeing. It's not yokeless, but it's yoked to Him. And Jesus isn't trying to lay a lot of rules on people. He's trying to keep them from the other yokes. It's just that you don't want to be... You know, somebody says, "Well, you know, you Christians, you have to have a whole bunch of rules, and I don't have to follow any of that." And so I look back at him and say, "Okay, well, how's that adultery working for you? How's your marriage doing? Is it great? And your kids? And yeah, your family really happy, huh? How are you doing with the coveting? Oh, you're working 80 hours a week so that you can have what everybody else. Oh yeah, and that's making you really happy. It's not? Okay, you know, don't. It's just the way it is. God wants to keep you from other yokes. So my question to you today, I want to ask you to take a yoke inspection. Check out your yoke. Check out what you're living under. Have you got Jesus' light yoke on you? Or have you let something else come in, slip into your yoke that's weighing you down, that's difficult and seems unyielding? One of the yokes that I find is so very easy to slip into is what we're warned against here in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, do you notice that that's not a suggestion? Paul is not saying, I just want to kind of encourage you that you really shouldn't be anxious. He says, no, be anxious for nothing. Do you know what anxiety does to people? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, put on the easy yoke. Bring your stuff to the Lord. Let Him take it. Let Him carry your load. Put it on Him. And quit worrying about it. I usually only have to tell myself that 2 or 3 times a day. Maybe. I find that it's very, very easy to become anxious. But it's a yoke. Are you struggling with something heavy or tormenting or something that you need freedom from? I find sometimes people end up wearing more than one yoke. You know, we try to wear Jesus' yoke and then we pile a few others up on top of it. Or the devil has a yoke of sin on you that you need help breaking off, and there's no shame in that. There is no shame in asking and having other people stand with you and see something broken off in your life. As a young Christian, I got saved, but I still had an addiction in my life, and it did not want to let me go. And I went to my pastor, and I confessed it, and he laid hands on me and commanded the spirit of addiction to come out of me, and I felt it leave. It left. It was a spirit, and I felt it come out of me, and I was free. But I had to go and confess that yoke to somebody, and that's where I got victory. So there's freedom from any yoke that the enemy can place on you. So assess your yoke. If it's beating you down and it's not easy, and that word easy there is the word krestos. It doesn't mean piece of cake, no problem. It means it's a serviceable, useful. It's serviceable, useful, and kind. When it says it's easy, it's one that's useful, and it's going to be kind to you. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to weigh you down and chafe you. If it's beating you down and it's not easy, then you've picked up a weight that Jesus does not want you to have. Sometimes you pick stuff up. I've got some yokes right now I know I'm carrying. The Lord convicted me this morning about some things. You're carrying some things you shouldn't be carrying. So I'm going to be giving them to some of you. share the load. But he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word light is elephros. It means easy to bear, not burdensome. It's not hard. It's not hard. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't chafe you. Jesus wants you to have something that's light. Know for certain that we are always going to be yoked. But if you're yoked with Jesus, it's awesome. Being tied to Him is the best thing that can be. He carries you through everything. If you're yoked and this thing next to you is something else, it's not going to be happy. Get rid of it. Toss it. Let Jesus come and take that yoke off of you so that you can have the easy and the light burden. The thing where Jesus walks and helps carry that load with you. Glory, glory to His name. Father, I'm just trusting You, Lord, to by Your Spirit to speak to people today about their yoke, their burden, where they're at. And Father, every one of us is different, but we all have the yokes that we struggle with, the things that want to attach themselves to us and weigh us down and steal our joy and make us concerned with things in this life that only make us unhappy or that only weigh us down or at best distract us. Father, I pray that there would be grace to break off every yoke that is not the yoke that Jesus promised that is easy and light. And Father, I pray if any of us are carrying false burdens that even look like something we're supposed to be doing, but it's a false burden that's only designed to break us down, I pray that You would light it up in our hearts. Light it up and give us victory over that so that we can walk in the yoke that You plant that's easy and light. Thank You that Your yoke, that You're gentle and humble in heart, and that Your yoke brings us into rest. We find rest when we put on the yoke. God, it doesn't always make sense in our own minds, but we know we can't do that on our own. We need You in the yoke with us. So, Father, today I pray that You would break off everything that is not a burden from You and help us to walk in freedom, both physically, emotionally, in our minds, and spiritually. And, Father, I give You thanks and praise. I know You're able to do it. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for being willing to come out on a hot, humid, sticky day. This is one of the kind of weather we were wishing for when it was the middle of winter, but now it's here, and sometimes it's a little hard to take, so I'm praying that you'll be able to stay cool. If you have a prayer need today, and you need someone to join with you for something, I invite you to come up. Someone will be here to pray for you today. And if not, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And if you need prayer, please come. Someone will be here to pray.